time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. Back.
Yes, sir.
Black History Year. We're still here.
Always.
What's good, man? How you feeling?
Feeling real good. Feeling real fine. You know what I'm talking about? Just out here doing the time of life, man. That's it, man. We good.
I hear that. That's good. Good to be alive. Great time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Here sipping some water. You know? Trying to get my water intake back up. I've been bullshitting. I don't know. That's just me in the moment. But I'm good, man. I can't complain. Just came back from being on the road this weekend, and it was a good time out there. Good time had. You know, shout out to everybody that came out. We had some great crowds, had some great shows. It was a good time. I had a good time. Even hit the beach.
Oh shit!
Hit the beach for a hot second, yeah. Because you know, winter is like day for day now. So
what city was this?
This was in Cape May, which is in, it's over by like near like Atlantic City or whatever.
Okay.
And yeah, so.
I mean, you
hotel
had.
Hotel I was staying at.
Tim's on the go beach ahead. Or you hit the beach with the barefoot?
Nah, I didn't go bare. It was too cold out there for the.
You
said
you hit the beach?
No. Nah, I hit the beach. I hit the beach with a good a Nike Lunar. Because I got, you know, I got some, you know, you got your little. Either go to the gym or your beaters. I got a pair of beaters in the trunk of the car. So I was like, yo, as I was about to pull out, I didn't really have much to do that day. It was President's Day too, so it was like, you know, I didn't have a spot until later on that night. It was pretty much a slow day. And I was really intentional or not intentional and I was deliberate, I'll say that, about slowing down a little bit. I was like, yo, there's a beach over here. Let me pull up and see what's going on. Like, it was literally right there. So I went on a thing initially with my regular kicks, and I said, oh, the sand is for real. Let me go grab these, some beaters. And then I just walked, you know what I mean, walked up to the shore, took some photos and shit, you know what I'm saying, a camera out, trying to get some cool little photos and shit, you know what I mean, tried to find a decent seashell. Told them to bring back, you know what I mean? All those seashells was looking broken down. So, but I just stayed out there. It was like, me, I get itchy immediately when it's time to, like, if the opportunity is to go, you know what I mean? It's time to get on the road. As a matter of fact, like, I typically when I do shows in that vicinity or at least in that drive span two and a half hours, more often than not, even if I got a hotel, I might leave right after the show, just jump on the road and get the fuck out of there. For what, I don't know. I just like getting to the crib. So I was deliberate about when I was like, all right, let me get the fuck out of there. And I was like, just stay a little bit longer, just take this moment in, you know what I'm saying? Like, take this moment in. It wasn't a full frolic, but it felt indulgent.
Right.
You know, it felt like, yeah, man, live this life, man. Fuck it. What you going? You want ready to jump on the turnpike? That's what you want to be on the turnpike, listen to a podcast in your whip? You could do that. You could do that in a little bit, but just, you know what I'm saying, inhale some of this fucking ocean air. Right. Look out onto the fucking horizon for a bit. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was all right. So I had a good time. That was cool. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, the shows was cool. Went out to one in PA and had one in Jersey. So the shit was straight, man. Shout out to Soul Joe. Shout out to my man Chris Lambert, man Justo for hosting. Shit was cool.
That's what's up.
Show
money. Yeah, I'm time back.
Yeah, feel good. I wanna, you know, I like being on the road. I'm not going to lie. It's starting to pick up again, so it feels good to be out there and seeing people.
Word.
You know? Yeah, man. How you doing, man? What's up?
I'm doing great, man. I was just chilling this weekend. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, one of them long weeks. So Saturday, I probably ain't get up to about 1 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? On a on an easy scroll. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Chill. You know, kicked it. Then Sunday, pretty much the same. I was a little more active. You know what I'm saying? Went out to the Starbucks or some shit. But then, you know, everybody kind of left the house. So I was, you know, home alone, you know what I'm saying? So at that point, it was like, you know, turned on my music loud as I wanted to, anything I wanted to play. Mm. Then I went and watched the car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So got outside, you know what I'm saying? Filled up my bucket. Because it was a nice day. It was beautiful. The sun was out. It probably was 67 or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little. It probably, like, when I first went out, it was cool. Then it warmed up a little bit. I was like, man. So, boom, pulled Marlo out, you know, washed it down, you know, put the little gloss on my tires. I was like, yeah, I felt accomplished. You know what I'm saying?
The who? Wait, you put some new tires on?
No. I said I put some gloss on the tires.
Oh, gloss. Okay. I thought you put new tires on.
Okay. I'm about to, though.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah. Not too far. I'm not too far off a new set of tires. But okay. Gloss the tires up, man. Step back. That shit was shiny. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Hit the car with some wax and all that,
nah,
too?
Nah. Yeah, I ain't need no wax. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Ain't he waxed? It was just, you know, it was just sparkling. It was just like a good day. The sun was sitting right and hitting the paint right. I felt, like I said, I felt accomplished.
You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Yeah.
And the payoff was pulled into the garage at the office on mm-hmm. Monday because I worked on President's Day. You know what I'm saying? George Washington wasn't no friend of mine. Motherfucker.
Okay. What about Obama? You ain't want to celebrate Obama?
You know, it was based off of Lincoln and Washington, and it just threw everybody
right,
in
got
there,
it.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. But Obama appreciate me making some money. I ain't make no money in Obama years. It was tough. So
contrary to popular demand.
Obama had the recession years and shit.
Yeah, so. Man. Yes, it was tough. So. He just kept morale high in the storm, but
right. You know what I'm saying? So he would appreciate me working.
Right.
He's like, yeah, now you might not need to take Dallas, brother. But when I pulled into the garage, you know what I'm saying, security was like, man, you watch this thing every day. It's like, nah, I just watched it yesterday though. You know? You know what I'm saying? So it just was like a nice wind down of the weekend.
Yeah.
And then you get the payoff on Monday. Like, that was a good little nod to your to your effort of relaxation.
Right. And yeah, that sounds good.
So
that's real good, yeah.
Yeah, I had posted a couple of little Instagram shots of the process, just a little whoop here and a whoop there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Had a lot of commentary. Niggas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, man, you too rich to be washing your own car. I'm like, shit. Nigga, I don't know that kind of rich yet. But he just ain't gonna touch nothing. I don't know that. So I'm still good for, you know what I'm saying, pulling the hose out, putting some water on mine, you know, especially on a nice warm day. Now on a frigid day, I'm gonna pull into the goddamn car wash at the Auto Spa.
So, yeah, but I guess washing your car, that's a bonding moment. You could fall in love with your car again when that shit starts shining.
Yeah. It's therapeutic. You know what I'm saying? It works out for the good of both. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
It's two things, right? You know what I'm saying? This one nigga, I had met this one nigga in New York, and Carla was trying to get him into the studio to rap, so I helped him get a book a studio, and you know what I mean? And then I went to pick the nigga up, and my car was dirty.
Mm-hmm. Then, is this someone of note?
Huh? Nah. It's someone... no one of note. I mean, okay. He's a nigga from the Polo Grounds. He was a nice rapper and shit. He just was just way too hood to ever kind of make it. You know what I'm saying?
Because
he gave me a couple of good notes, though. You know what I'm saying? Went and picked him up. You know, it's New York. You know what I'm saying? You don't really, like the car wash lifestyle ain't really, you know, part of like New York City. You know, you live in Queens or Jersey probably, but when you parking on the street, you know what I'm saying, your shit getting dusty real quick, right? So my car was dusty. It was overdue for a wash. It probably was winter. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And he came.
What kind of car was this?
This was a Honda. This was a Honda.
Okay.
At the time. Okay. And so he came out and he was like, man, you got to keep your car clean, man. And I'm like, this a nigga with no car trying to tell me some shit?
Hey, niggas have some commentary, bro, on any part of your life. Living that part of the life or not, I got something to say.
You know
I got a take.
Yeah, you know I'm saying? And then, you know, he like, yeah, you got to keep your shit clean, man. He was like, when you don't keep your car clean, people feel like you don't care about it. And when you don't care about it, that's the ones they steal first. You know what I'm saying? That's the ones they break into first.
Ooh.
I was like, ooh, that's a gem. Okay.
Nope. That's a gem.
Noted.
That's a gem. Yes. Yes. Yeah,
noted.
Yeah.
Nigga went to the car wash. Mm-hmm. Got his shit together. Right. You know what I'm saying? But I also know, like, when you stop washing your car, it's not, I don't know if it's directly affected to your car fucking up, but it's something about it. If you once you lose the effort on keeping your shit clean, you probably lose the effort on other little shit that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like maintenance shit. And then I just noticed when you keep your shit dirty, your shit be fucking up more. You know what I'm saying? You keep your shit clean, you know what I'm saying? I think you notice more and you pay more attention to shit and you do better with your shit. You're riding on E less, you know what I'm saying? You're more apt to feel your shit all the way up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And not
right,
be riding on the pot liquor or the gasoline. Nigga be riding off the bottom of the barrel.
The backwash.
Yeah, the backwash of gasoline. You can't ride off that all the time, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Shit, fuck your shit up. And I didn't know that till the other Benz that I had, the wagon. And and for whatever reason, this wagon, I thought it was the gauge was off. And but it was you know, it was, you would run out of gas when you round about a quarter tank. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why does shit run out of gas? And then
like stop? And
yeah, it'll be like, at a quarter tank. Like nigga, you're out of gas. Like nigga, you need a can and some help.
Wow.
You need somebody to come help you fill up your motherfucking gas can and shit.
That's devastating.
So that happened once. I thought it was a fluke. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then it happened one other time. And so I took the shit to the shop. And you know, they went through all the processes and shit. It wasn't a gauge. He was just like, he was like, the tank need to be replaced. He was like, there's a lot of sludge at the bottom of the tank. That's why every time the gas got low, like when you get like under half a tank, because you know, really that was almost, you know, an empty tank. You just riding on that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of debris or
sediment.
Whatever. Yeah, settlement, and you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, it wasn't good gas. So you riding on that, so you getting a rougher ride. And I ain't know that. And then, you know what I'm saying? The more you ride on that rough ride, the more you fuck shit up. And then you got a bigger problem. So, you know, when you pay attention to your shit and you keep your shit clean, you know what I'm saying, you be more apt to, you know what I'm saying, let me go fill my shit up too. Let me go, and that, you know what I mean?
Right,
And another thing about, you know, and it goes back to, you know what I'm saying, my man, his name was Rock Cigar from Polo Grounds. Rock, you know what I'm saying, was telling me about keeping your shit clean. Out here, niggas was breaking in cars crazy.
But, so in Atlanta or in New
York? Atlanta. Like, they busting windows out. But shit. Yeah. I don't even leave. It's nothing. You look at my car's like a museum. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, shit.
Right.
Ain't shit up in this motherfucker. Because you can see all the way through it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to date, knock on the wood and, you know what I'm saying, pray to the Allahs and the gods and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Nobody has bust out my window. Because it ain't really nothing to bust it out for. Because ain't shit in that motherfucker. But, you know what I'm saying? Leather. So, but it's also a thing of, okay, this motherfucker take care, pay attention. This motherfucker might be looking out the window right now. I ain't fucking with that one, you know? So, you know, keep shit clean, man. It helps with your state of mind. It helps with your whole, how you carry yourself all the way through it. You know what I'm saying? Because you could ride it dirty. It's the same car. Riding it dirty, it ain't the same car when it's clean. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole different reaction when you shit clean. And that's, I guess that's why they say cleanliness is next to godliness and shit.
Yeah. It's definitely, yeah, you definitely appreciate it more when you start to let your shit get dirty. It definitely, I could understand how it could slide into neglect, you know. No, it can, it can. I got to clean my shit right now. So absolutely. I ain't gonna lie to you. But I was gonna ask you something else. I had a few questions when we double back.
Mm-hmm.
I seen you was when you was washing your car, look like you was wearing a Birkenstock. Well, you been a Birkenstock man. When you make that transformation.
That's my house shoe, my nigga.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Yeah, the okay, all right. Okay, all right. Oh, so you got an indoor Birkenstock. Because a lot of people, it's been a shift over the last maybe 4 or 5 years. I've seen a lot of fellas, particularly black cats, rocking Birkenstocks, mm-hmm. you know, in the name of comfort. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Because Birkenstocks had, for years and years, been very much like a crunchy or a hippie kind of shoe.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm right. saying? A hacky sack type of situation.
Right.
And I seen, I knew some women that would wear Birkenstocks and swore mm-hmm. by the comfort. Everybody was saying. So tell us a little bit about this Birkenstock when you kind of mm-hmm. first put it on your foot. And what's the feel on a Birkenstock? Because I've never, I don't think I, maybe I've tried one on. I don't know. I know I've tried on a Croc before and I quickly took that shit off. But tell me the feel on that.
I couldn't do a Croc. That's too, you know what I'm saying? And see, before I go into all of the look and feel, all that old bullshit, I'm just level set a little bit, set the record straight.
Go ahead, you know set that level.
Listen, man. I'm the type of motherfucker, man, I can't see wearing a flip-flop nowhere outside, like, you know what I'm saying, in the streets, because you might have to run. Okay. You might have to wrestle a nigga or something, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You might have to do something. Like,
well, I saw you had a sock with it, so I figured this was in the world with it.
This was around the Krasnoyarsk type shit.
Okay,
way shit. You could get your hand to your you know what I'm saying, your pistol and shit. Like,
right, got you. Flip-flopping a Glock.
So.
Yeah, I got it.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, but you know, so I never felt comfortable wearing a flip-flop out in the world, like a, you know what I'm saying, like a Birkenstock, because I don't even want a nigga to look at me and think, okay, this nigga ain't gonna be able to do shit on his little, right. little flip flop and his chunk clutter or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even want a nigga even be thinking that way. So I just don't do it. You know what I'm saying? I be tripping off. I tell my daughter all the time, she be wearing her Crocs and shit. I'm like, what you gonna do if something happened? What do you mean?
Right.
She's like, I'm gonna put it in sport mode. is only like video game sport, esports. That's not fucking sport mode for running, nigga. Shit. So, anyway, man, Birkenstock. I know. I always thought they was cool for the people who wore them. You know what I'm saying? I never saw myself in them per se. And then, you know, I had hit a couple of little style changes and you know, I had, you know, these like, you know, basically like, I don't know what kind of, I remember we was on here one time and I said they was like culottes, but they long, they ain't like short culottes, but they like long, they like baggy long situations, but you know what I'm saying, they don't look good with many shoes, you know what I'm saying, so I don't really wear them outside too much, but I love to wear them around the house. But I found that the black Birkenstock, well, first of all, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing going to really look cool with just, you know what I'm saying, a flip-flop and your bare foot. Like, that's just going to look like the beach. You know what I'm saying? That ain't going to work. Regular sandal, you know, got the thong up your toe. So can't wear a sock with that type shit. So you're relegated to the, you know, the Gucci slide or the Adidas slide or the Nike slide, you know what I'm saying? For a sock preparation, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
your West Coast.
The Birkenstock offers that same flexibility of rocking with a sock, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it has the historic nature to it. And boom, when they paired it with the long culottes, I'm like, oh, this shit hit with the black Birkenstock and a black sock, or like a gray, like a dark gray cashmere sock, nigga. Shit, you in business. You're feeling luxurious around the crib, you know? So that's how I was feeling luxurious around the crib, you know what I'm saying? Had on a sweatsuit with my, you know what I'm saying, my cashmere socks and my Birkenstocks. And I'm like, let me go wash my car. It wasn't well thought out. It just was like spur of the moment. So I just went with what I had on.
Got it.
And so you know, it was a lot of commentary talking about, you know what I'm saying, you ain't worried about getting your socks wet. Like, damn, nigga.
But, yes, I had that situation at the beach, but keep going.
But I was like, nigga, I'm grown. I ain't, you know what I'm saying, got no way with water spraying all around like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. The water, you only spraying the water on the rinse, and you got a hose, nigga. You can step back a few feet. You ain't got to be up on it. You know what I'm saying?
You got the confidence of a guy with no iPhone case.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, nigga, and I'm home. If I do get it wet, shit, I could go throw them bitches in the wash. But,
nice.
But to my credit, I got no water on my socks, man. You know what I'm saying? It was a super clean moment. You know what I mean? Everything was managed perfectly to the T. And I got up out there, you know what I'm saying? And the shit was clean. You felt accomplished. You know what I'm saying? You felt like an OG. Like, shit, nigga can't tell me a motherfucking thing. That's how I felt. And that's how I wanted to feel. And that was beautiful. So I posted the shit. So you had that commentary. Then it was the other commentary, Africa ass. Gonna talk about, oh, that's giving. She's looking at the car, talking about, oh, it's giving Pat from BMF vibes. I'm like, man, you motherfuckers. You motherfuckers ain't shit.
Oh, man. It's a period piece. Yeah, man. It's an old school piece. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Pat.
I'm like, Pat.
That's funny. Wood Harris. Oh, shit, man. Damn. My socks did get wet fucking around on the beach. I was doing too much. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't tried to do too much. Like I told you, I was out there trying to gather some seashells, right? And then I'm like, you know what, to kind of see the full potential of these seashells and on some symbolic ritualistic situation, let me pull up to the shore and let the waves kind of go over, you know what I mean, wash over these shells to get the little sand off, and I can see what it's really about. And I'm trying to gauge the little, I don't know what that little after you know, shock where it comes all the way up. I was trying to catch a nice little you know, handful of water to and I tried to dip up out of there. That motherfucking other shit, whoosh, caught my whole shit. I had some Lunars on, so they ain't even leather. They little, you know, they got some type of weird material. My whole sock was soaked. So now I'm on the side of the road by the car, wringing my socks out. But good thing I had some old socks in my, you know, my luggage. You know what I'm saying? So I did. Had to do a sock change in the middle of the... Yeah, that's what I was really like, okay, I hope nothing crazy happened. You know what I mean? I'm out here in Cape May, black man just out here. Look, I hope I don't look like a vagrant as I'm out here wringing my socks out, because that's odd. You know what I mean? But I figured I'm next to a vehicle, so it's not too bad. You know what I mean? But like, I definitely... It was a rookie mistake. My beach game is not the best. You know, I have to say that. What, did you get any other commentary on the...
That was it. Everybody was just riffing off of those few moments. You know what I'm saying? Of course, everybody, you know what I'm saying, said it was clean. And one of the other things you get, you know, I don't post Merlot that much. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like ain't nothing... change, you know what I'm saying? I ain't do nothing different to it, so it kind of feel weird. But when I look at other nigga car pages, they post they shit every day. But but you get cats sharing their cars too, like, you know what I'm saying? So that's the other part that you don't really, that I never, you know, didn't realize was a thing, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, cats was share they shit, you know what I'm saying? And my man McGregory Porter, he hit me up, was like, oh shit, that's it, clean. He ain't want, he wasn't cursing, he don't be cursing the shit, but he was like, man, that's clean. But then he sent me a picture of the shit he bought, you know what I'm saying? Like probably that shit probably looked like an 82, 81 sedan, probably like a 300 sedan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Almost like round body. So it might have been like, probably yeah, like early 80s, like fresh out of the 70s when it was a little more rounder. So he was like money green. Looked like he had just got it. You know what I'm saying? Got a couple of things he needed to do to it, but he's like, he just picked him up one. He a lover of vintage shit too. So, you know what I'm saying? That fits his whole shit. You know what I mean? So, so that, you know, that was, you know, cool little bonding moments when you do shit like that. Now, you know, maybe I should post more often.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, people see. I was, speaking of vintage shit, I came across this page. I got to find it again, but it was basically, it's a site that just do like vintage Range Rovers.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell them, but they like, they, you know, they got various years and that's just such an ill, that's one of my favorite whips of all time. So just to see, like, they had like a 91 or something like that, a fire one from like 91 or 90s, in the 90s, had like 75,000 on it. And it wasn't, they wasn't asking for a whole lot of money. It was way out in West Coast, but that shit look kind of spicy. That shit looks spicy. I like it. I appreciate an old whip sometimes, you know, especially as you become an old whip yourself. You know what I mean? You remember when that shit was, when it was impactful, when it was something, when it came on the scene, you know, it felt good. The other question I had for you, said you was out and you had some time to yourself, so you was blasting music. What do you blast music on in your house?
Shit, a couple of different things. You know, you could blast it on the, you know, the TV surround, or you could blast it on, you know, got a couple of, like, you know, speakers, Bluetooth speakers.
Like Bluetooth, okay, because that's what I'm getting, that's what I'm feeling like, and I feel like the, you know, the era of the house speakers is over. You know, yeah, like, it's over.
Nigga, that's been gone.
That's been gone, but that used to be a point of pride, a nice set of speakers. Did I send you this, I think it was an Instagram story or something. It was Rick Rubin's crib. And all he had was in that. I sent it to you? Okay, damn. All he had in his house, that was the only furniture he really had, was speakers. Speakers in every room. Nice fucking speakers. Like, okay, I see. You still fuck with, you still true to it. But it's just so, like, rare to see, like, a nice, some nice speakers.
That's the A&R speaker, you know what I'm saying? Rick Rubin still, you know, he a producer. Now, he need an A&R speaker every way yet.
Yeah, man.
I'm just on a Bluetooth scenario, you know what I'm saying? I got, you know, one of them JBL party boxes, a bigger one. And then I got a smaller one. That's a Sony joint that's, like, that was like a lick, cause I was looking for the JBL, like the mid-size JBL,
and
they didn't have them in stock. It was when I first had that, when I got that apartment down here, and you know, you just realize like, damn, this shit is empty. You need at least some sounds in this motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So went to go get the JBL, and they didn't have none. But the dude at the Best Buy, and this is my second spot I went to. Best Buy, he was like, yo, you know, I know you're looking for a JBL, man, but we got these Sonys. People don't really know about them, but they cheaper, and you know what I'm saying? They got great sound. So he let me test it out. I'm like, that do sound all right, you know what I'm saying? Then we get to the crib. That shit sounds good, and it definitely sounds great at $100 cheaper than the JBL. You know what I'm saying? Well, shit, I ain't missing much, man. You know what I mean? I got those two split around, you know, moving around whenever you need to. I had the party box bumping on Sunday. That's what I took outside.
Okay.
The party box, yeah. And the shit was so cool. Shit was so cool. I know I'm going on and on about my son.
Nah, but, go ahead. It's just the conversation.
You know what I'm saying? Grown man talk here.
This was a moment. Come
you know
on.
Shit was going so smooth with the, you know what I'm saying? You know, because you got neighbors and shit. You got people that's around. And so I'm playing the tunes. And then the neighbor came out. I'm like, oh, shit. Because the neighbor ain't, you know what I'm saying? I ain't really ever interacted with the neighbor. And then she was like, that music sounds good. I'm like, oh, thank you. She said, I just wanted to come out here and tell you that I'm listening and having a good time. I'm like, oh, man, I appreciate that. She was like, you a DJ? I'm like, nah, I ain't no DJ, but I'm just glad I'm a good DJ to my neighbor. You know what I'm saying? So that was a cool little moment.
That's what's up.
That was a cool little
moment. That's good. I speak of the Bluetooth, so I saw this little thing on Twitter or somewhere where basically this cat fell asleep on the train. He had his Bluetooth speaker in his hand, and other motherfuckers on the train was trying to sync their iPhone to his speaker, and they finally got that shit synced to the speaker. They blasted whatever they want to blast. This motherfucker knocked out holding the speaker. That shit was kind of funny. I never seen nobody do that shit. That was kind of funny. But you reminded me of something. You said when you went and bought your speakers, dude was like, yeah, test it out. Mm-hmm. When I've had this in test driving a car and also test driving like a speaker or radio, especially back in the day, a little stereo system or whatever. Mm-hmm. When given the opportunity to test out your speaker, how loud do you go?
You go all the way as you want, nigga, and you put
you go as loud as, because I be feeling, I got that, I guess I had a bit of a governor on me of just a, don't be a nigga in here, governor. Oh, nah, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, I had you, so you. Me, so I'm like, fuck it.
Oh, well, you good with the rap, but I guess that's like, or for instance, I'll do it a little bit more now. I don't give a fuck now, but when I was younger, I remember when I was first getting to Iowa. Mm-hmm. I would blast it for like a hot second, but I'd be quick to put it down just because, you know, I ain't want motherfuckers looking like I'm just a disturbance ass motherfucker. Mm-hmm. But I know the last time I test drove some shit, I definitely, you know, I put it out. I wanted to hear what's going on with these speakers. You know what I'm saying? And it's always interesting to see their reaction, especially based on what you playing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you playing some super ignorant shit, it could be a moment. But hey, you know, it's a test.
Yeah. Anyway. I wanted to see if the bass was gonna be able to be holed up, you know what I'm saying? And it was, like I said, man, it was, the difference was very slim, if any, you know what I mean? So the difference was, you know what I'm saying, in that damn near $100. So
that's good.
Because I had went shopping. I had went around looking for different shit. I had looked for hi-fi options. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to be, you know what I'm saying, a snob about the shit.
Yeah.
And he changed my whole opinion because it got down to the end of the day. Shit was about to be closed. He like, man, we ain't got that, but you might want to try this. I'm like, shit, I fucks with it. So
that's good that he ain't even upsell you, because you know typically that's what happened too. Are you looking for that? They talk down the shit you looking for and then try to sell you some other shit. I'm in the middle of reading this Crazy Eddie book still. You know, Crazy Eddie was he was talking about how that was the hustle, how they would you know, do a whole lot of baiting and switching, you know. Yeah, it's so wild just to kind of get some insight on some of this shit. I didn't realize, and I'm not sure if it's the same now, but back in the day, you know, some of these, to be, you know, when you see authorized retailer of these type of sound systems or whatever, right, when you become an authorized Sony retailer, authorized whatever, Panasonic retailer, that they don't get that shit out too easily. And the thing is, when they do, there's so many little parameters that you got to stay in line with. One is you can never discount them shits. Like, you're not allowed to discount them. So, like, you know, like that one store will tell on the other store. You know what I'm saying? That's how you'll lose your authorized retailer, whatever. So he wound up going to some cats in the Bronx that were getting them, you know, like off the truck type shit. So he was getting the real shit. but he wasn't authorized, but, you know, he kind of used it to get people in the store, and then he was selling floor model shit, and he was telling people how to, how they would little run the flim-flam on the floor model shit. He was like, because he was, I forget what type, I think a Syrian Jew, and they speak a different type of, I guess there's like, he had this little hybrid of like Yiddish and Pig Latin that him and his people that he worked with, mm-hmm. they used to speak, right? And then it had like a little code and shit like that. So what they would do was anytime they had a floor model, they, you know, they would keep the box real nice in a whole little room with just all of the floor model boxes to keep them as pristine as possible. And, you know, they would try not to sell the floor models, but if the person was just, you know, haggling, he would say, yeah, so I tell one of my employees to go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And go to lunch is really just the, that's code to go back to the thing, grab the floor model on your way out, go to the back, pack the floor model up nice, you know, dust it off, wipe it down with a special cloth, put the, you know what I mean, put the nice staples in so it looks brand new. And he's telling the customer, you know what, I'm going to make a call. I think we might have one at the warehouse. Let me see if they can make it happen. You stay here, blah, blah, blah. So while they waited for the quote-unquote warehouse to deliver it, you got your man back there with the refurbished shit, putting it in the thing. I was like, damn. You know, it's just so, it's so grimy in the game. But so far, it's a pretty interesting book. But yeah. It's called Retail Gangster. I went to this thing. Speaking of, we talked about, you know, staying fresh. I went to this... you know, this 50 years of hip hop, there's a lot of little activations going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the museum at FIT has a exhibit going on called Fresh Fly Fabulous 50 Years of Hip Hop Style. And it comes in conjunction with a book with Rizzoli about hip hop fashion. But it's like a little, you know, like a little museum exhibit down at the FIT Museum, which is free to go into.
I saw some people posting about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shit is cool. I went through there. Shit is pretty cool. It's a, it's not, it's a decent size exhibit. It kind of, it gets the timeline. It you know, it encompasses a lot of mm-hmm. cool little looks and things of that nature. But it's definitely, if you're in the city, you're in New York, or if you're coming to New York, I'm not sure how long it's running to, but I would say it's worth your while, you know. It's free. They got some cool shit in there. They got, you know, yeah, they got the old school from the old school, like sheepskins and, mm-hmm. the, you know what I mean? Like, they got all the way, you know, the Dapper Dan old school shit. The they got the Virgil Louis Air Force Ones. They got, I'm trying to think. They got a lot of, you know, they go through a lot of shit. 8-ball jackets in there. They got Polo, Low Life shit, Tommy Hilfiger, 5001 Flavors, Tim's, you know, just a lot of the looks and shit like that. It's pretty cool to see. It's pretty mm-hmm. cool to see. It's definitely worth checking out. So, yeah, just a little shout about that.
True. I mean, Hip Hop 50, man. You know,
wild.
It's like, you know, it's going to be a lot of marketing attached to it, a lot of, you know, hashtags, a lot of, but, you know, it's just wild that, you know, it's just the only thing that probably, like, other than the internet and shit like that, that was, like, born relatively in my lifetime. You got to see it from early on into how it evolved to what it is, you know. So it wasn't like something mm-hmm. that was already here. Like jazz was already here and done doing its thing, rock and roll, all that stuff. So as mm-hmm. as a new thing to watch it from its infancy, when people thought it was just a fad, just some shit mm-hmm. some kids is doing, to it being where nigga, you know, basically I live my whole career off of the shit. You know what I'm saying? In one way or mm-hmm. the other. You know what I mean? So to watch it being celebrated. Of course, it's going to be a lot of misses, a lot of overlooks. Everybody going to go with the broad strokes, you know what I'm saying? Kool Herc had the party, you know what I'm saying? Then it was, you know, this group, that group, Dougie Fresh, you know what I mean? All of the things, you know what I'm saying? So when you look at the music aspect of it, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, a lot of that's going to get covered, you know what I mean? But when you mm-hmm. start talking about the lifestyle and culture of hip hop, then mm-hmm. I think a lot's going to get missed in that conversation. Because, you know, everybody, a lot of people jumped on at a late stage, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
and you could it always is different when you were early on and then saw how it evolved than when you mm-hmm. came in later at a later stage. Not even in age, right. but just like people that's from our era, probably weren't, some mm-hmm. people weren't rocking with it until later. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's,
right.
They was probably still like R&B people or, you know what I mean, shit like that, trying to do the politically correct type of thing. And then later in life, after it blew up, they're like, ah, shit, I'm wearing Dunks now and shit.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't even realize why. Yeah, it's safe now to kind of, enjoy. You know, but to that point, I would say, for those people that were in any way involved in the lifestyle aspect or any of the, you know, ancillary parts of hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Forefathers of any part of it outside of the music, this is the time to come get your props. Like, this is almost like a class action suit. While the light is shining, you need to kind of step to the fore. Like, come with your receipts. Come with your documentation, your flyers, your footage. This is the time. This is a better time than it's ever going to be, probably for another 50 years. So,
Right.
Come, and
it's
big
good.
Big yourself up.
It's good. Even like when the Grammys did the thing, you know what I'm saying? See the cats who haven't been in the limelight be able to grab some of mm-hmm. that light, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. they just, everybody who hot right now, it's like, let's celebrate it, you know?
Right.
I think what's going to get, what I feel like is going to get missed in the conversation uh-huh. is like the DJs, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, you're going to get Grandmaster Flash. You're going to get the top line people. But like the DJs who actually affected the clubs and the lifestyle and how people actually right. listen to this shit. Like right. should very well be at the forefront of the conversation, as the DJs was the first. You know what I'm saying? It's no hip hop without the DJs. You know what I mean? It's no rapping right. to the beat if you ain't got the brakes spinning back and forth. You know?
Right.
It's no a lot of shit without, like, you know, the shit what like we was talking about the other day with Jazzy Jeff was doing. But then mm-hmm. and you got the mixtape niggas, like, you know what I'm saying? All them, Clue mm-hmm. and Who Kid and all them, what they did for the game, you know? It's like 50 Cent was able to blow because niggas like them and DJ Drama with Jeezy. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I hope the DJs mm-hmm. I hope they get they activation in the midst of this 50-year celebration.
Yeah.
The DJs, you know, the female rappers, of course. I think Netflix doing a documentary on the female rappers.
Okay.
The women of hip hop. So I think Netflix got that part covered, and you know, the main ones are gonna get their shine. But then it was the one, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It's the ones that was really out there battling niggas and shit, you know what I'm saying? That's probably gonna get missed over, you know? So it's just a trip, because that shit was always classic moment early in hip hop when you had niggas out there battling and shit, and then the girl came with the fast rap on your ass. You know what I'm saying? It's like the shit that Supersonic was trying to imitate, but that was like mm-hmm. a real thing, and they would be saying real words. You know what I'm saying? Dominating, you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. the girl come out there and shut that whole shit down. You didn't even spit bars. Motherfucker mm-hmm. come with that little fast ass rap with all the words and adjectives, nigga. You got to go sit down, man.
Double Dutch flow.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, all that, like, little stuff that was in the lifestyle, it gets mm-hmm. watered out when you start doing this type of shit.
You know what? And that might even just contradict the point I just made, but what I do, what could happen, and I kind of see it happening, is, you know, 50 years really establishes this shit as, you know, a true culture, a true phenomenon, right? A true, like, it is still very relevant and viable to this day. Mm-hmm. When I think about stuff like the Civil War, and, you know, how they got Civil War buffs, or, you know, there's the Beatlemania, and, you know, whatever, the Rolling Stones or whomever, and there's, like, it becomes this industry unto itself of unpacking it and telling the stories that we forgot about and mm-hmm. things of that nature. Because now that we see this 50 year, like all these activations is going to go on in this 50th year, is also going to, it's going to be a big ass proof of concept of the overwhelming appetite for knowledge. Cause to your point, there's a lot of people that may have been peeping it, you know what I mean? But not indulging in it. And there's probably going to be some people that's like, damn, what did I miss? You know, like, I was talking to somebody that's younger, and they were like, yo, at what point did you realize hip hop had become big? Or do you remember, like, how it happened? And I, like, the analogy that I could think of just in that moment was kind of like, cause I remember back in the days, you had to listen to that shit like late night. It wouldn't come mm-hmm. on till after 8. You right. know what I mean? And it was like little things, like it was appointment type shit, and mm-hmm. it felt fleeting. You know, it was like real ephemeral, whatever. And I was just like, it reminded me of like a friend you knew from young becoming famous. Mm-hmm. You know, like where it's like you knew them, but everybody else ain't know them. And next thing you know, you walking down the block with them, and they like, oh yeah, da da da. You just like, oh shit, right. Everybody noticed, but you. You know, whatever, you know, but shit. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit cool. Like, that shit's kind of, it's that's the thing. Like, you like, oh, wow, you listen. I remember that was a thing to be like, yo, you listen to hip hop? Like, that was a precursor to the conversation. Yo, you listen to rap? Oh, yo, oh, you heard such and such? Like, it felt very much right. like amongst the people. Now, shit is dominant. Right. It's, you know, like fucking Sarah Palin giving shout outs at her debate.
Right.
You know, and that just, it's wild. It's wild. So
hip hop was the soundtrack to outside. You know what I'm saying? Like you ain't mm-hmm. like, you know, especially when you weren't in New York. Like if they was playing it at night in New York, you definitely mm-hmm. weren't hearing that shit in no Miami. Like, you was hearing that shit maybe one or two records here and there.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? It's the Run DMC shit. That's it. Sugar Hill. Mm-hmm. That's it. But
yeah.
you had to hear that shit outside. You had to hear the DJs playing that shit. That shit was outside music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which was very yeah. different from radio music and, you know what I'm saying, stereo at the house music. That you were used to, like, stereo at the house was like, mm-hmm. you know, off the wall, and you know what I'm saying, motherfucking cooling the game right. and shit. You weren't playing that shit at your grandma's house like that.
Not loud.
She had to be at church, yeah, nigga. You pull out yeah. the Atari yeah. and put on some records. But mm-hmm. but that shit was outside, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And it was just records. It wasn't even like videos like that. Like, the videos was very spare. You know, maybe, like I said, mm-hmm. Run DMC, maybe a rough Houdini cut. You know what I'm saying? Shit was right. fuzzy and shit. Lil Jermaine mm-hmm. Dupri pop locking in the video. But
right.
but the crazy part is, and it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like this type of hip hop history I be liking to break down and shit because it's an unknown. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, the first national tour was the Fresh Fest, right? Which was my first concert. Which.
Right.
You were able to see hip hop and all that shit, how these people look, you know what I'm saying, how they move, like, you know what I'm saying, you watching the whole flow, like, damn, that's these niggas from the record that you on that don't have no picture on the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Just all you know is the name of the record and the name of the group. Mm-hmm. And here they are live in front of you, and you're like, oh shit, this is crazy.
Right.
When you hear the Fat right. Boys do the beatbox and the nigga bass is just really filling up the room, you're like, damn, that nigga beatboxing. You know?
Like, this shit is for real.
Like, this yeah, shit yeah. real. Like, these niggas is breakdancing mm-hmm. and shit. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So This is the first time you saw it for real. And the story behind that shit is so crazy because the nigga who put the tour together, he took it to Sugar Hill. He wanted to do a tour with Sugar Hill. And Silver Robinson was like, fuck out of here. And some
that crazy?
For some reason, Russell Simmons was up at the office. And you know what I'm saying? Like, let me holler at you type shit. And at the time, he was like, I'm trying to just find $5,000 a week for my artists. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want all my artists to be making $5,000 a week. And and the tour would have been able to give him that. You know what I'm saying? So you have it. Boom. They go out on tour with all of Russell Simmons' artists that he managed and shit. So you had Run DMC, you had Fat Boys, you had, you know what I'm saying, all of the Rush, Rolling with Rush artists. You know what I'm saying? So they go out, change the world, because now the world able to see this shit, feel this shit in real time. And so, boom, then Fresh Fresh 2, and then Run DMC started breaking off their own tours. But that nigga who did that first tour is the nigga who made Universal Circus. That's his, you know what I'm saying? That's what he doing now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that nigga changed the world twice.
That's dope. Yeah, that's really dope. Yeah.
Like, he an unknown figure in hip-hop history that, you know what I'm saying, that really had a major impact.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know he did both of those things. That's dope. What's his name?
I got to look it up now. I had to go to my Google box.
Yeah. Universal Circus.
Yeah.
I'm using that. Actually, I'm thinking Soul Train. But yeah, I used to go to Universal Circus quite a bit. It was the Black Barnum and Bailey.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You wouldn't think niggas would be fucking with no animals and tricks and shit.
I ain't do it. The money there. Let's get it. Let's do it.
Yeah. His name is Cedric Walker. Cedric Walker.
Shout out to Cedric Walker. Salute. Black history.
Yeah. Leave y'all with that for the motherfucking Black History year.
There you go. How about that, you know? What else? So I got a couple other things, but we could go into the Detroit. How you feeling? Where you at with it?
I'm good, man. Shit. Okay. You know I was there.
Okay. All right. Bad. Well, let me just run this because I've been meaning to run this. I went to this event a while back, a couple weeks back, and they were serving mocktails. It was like, you know what I mean? It was just like, it's a no alcohol event, whatever they were serving out, mocktails. And typically with mocktails, I've always been kind of dismissive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've always kind of just like, even with like CBD, I always kind of look at this shit like, whatever. Like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I remember back in the days, you was an old duels man. Right.
Briefly. I'm talking.
Oh, okay. All right, my bad. But I was always like, well, that's different. You know what I'm saying? But I was at this event where they had this little mocktail. I forget. I think I had a mocktail Paloma. And the shit was cool because it was good for, like, first of all, as of late, I'm trying to wean off of just drinking in general. I do it every so often, but like, the desire to drink ain't what it used to be. And if I drink, I don't even have to drink a whole lot to feel it the next day, right? So I'll enjoy a drink, but I'm not like just drinking to be drinking. But it reminded me of, like, you know, when you out, oftentimes a lot of the whole point of getting a drink is, one, to have some shit in your hand, something to do with at least one in your hands. You know what I'm saying? Looking like you know, you're not a cop. Looking like you supposed to be there. Looking like you enjoying yourself. And then, obviously, the alcohol could, you know, release you of your inhibition. You know what I mean? That's the other part of it. But outside of the alcohol factor of it, I felt like it was cool and it was refreshing. It was a nice little thing. It didn't taste fugazi. I wasn't waiting to get drunk anyway, so it wasn't like I put that much anticipation on too much pressure on the shit. But I felt myself like, yo, this ain't bad. But this was what took it to the next level, because I'm chopping it up with the bartender. I was like, yo, it's pretty good. These are good mocktails. And I'm telling him, typically mocktails, I'm like, you know, hit or miss. He was like, yeah, nah, we do good stuff here, whatever, whatever. And he was like, as a matter of fact, I guess as a flex, you know, he was like, yo, you wanna do a mock tequila shot? I said, yeah, nigga, I guess this is something. Y'all really go in there, huh? Mock tequila shot. And it was some shit that was like, I guess, ginger based or something for a little burn or whatever. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I was cool with it. I was like, oh, this shit, it gave me all of the dynamics or mm-hmm. whatever, like, you know, of what it would be, throwing the shot back, you know what I mean, chilling, you know what I'm saying, feeling a little burned. Obviously, you're not going to get drunk, but I was like, I'm not mad at this shit. I'm not that mad at it. Word. But where you at? Have you had any mocktails recently? What's your stance on mocktails?
Well, I have. You know, you took it back to the old dudes era. I had stopped drinking for a couple years, like early mm-hmm. in the game. And, you know, only thing I missed was beer. You know what I'm saying? That's why I really mostly drink beer now. I don't even really, I drink cocktails, but not much.
Okay.
But then, you know, old dudes, you know, is you know, after doing it for a couple months, I was like, this is stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it might have been some peer pressure. Like, niggas like, why the fuck you even, you know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't even, you know what I'm saying, fuck with it at all.
Right.
And then I get in your head, you're like, yeah, this is stupid. That's when I became a tea connoisseur. That's you know what I'm saying. That's when I became a tea dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which was a strange ass place, like in 2001. That's a 2000, right. 2000, that was a strange ass place, because most places didn't readily get an order of hot tea. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't. And then 99% of the times, if they did get one, it definitely wasn't going to be from no nigga that was like 27 years or 28 years old. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
The fuck?
That's what kind of helped with the stoic Muhammad vibe. It was like, oh, this motherfucker, he knows some shit. This nigga got a T in the club. This shit is wild in the club. This nigga got a cool T. Chilling. I was like, oh, this nigga here, this it nigga is
club,
a seer.
Man,
no, but it'll be a good lounge. It'll be some loud right, music right. playing. This motherfucker got I'm like, yo, this man ordered a tea.
Ah, nigga, that shit used to be so crazy, the response you would get off of that shit. So I was on that shit for a while. I was really just proving a point. You know what I'm saying?
What was the point?
You know, my wife had, we had just had the baby, so this was probably 2001. Okay. So, mm-hmm. and so, you know, of course, I'm working that vibe. You know, we doing events, you know what I'm saying? End of the event, you might throw back a couple of Heinekens before you head out, you know what I'm saying? Or we might go to the restaurant and eat and everybody drink and, you know what I'm saying, then mm-hmm. head out to the house. And you get home and they be like, you smell like you've been drinking. What you been drinking? I had a couple beers, you know what I'm saying, on the way out, you know what I'm saying? So it felt like she was making it more like I just been out kicking it, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, while she been home with the baby, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, damn, nigga, you just out kicking it. I'm like, kicking it, nigga? I was working. Yeah, uh-huh, right, uh-huh. Nigga, whatever, nigga. You smell like the bar. And so I was like, you know what I'm saying? You know, I run through a little, I was like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to stop drinking altogether, see how that work. You know what I'm saying? Boom. Mm-hmm. It took about 2 years before she acknowledged that I stopped drinking. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll be out with friends. They'll order drinks. Sally, what you drink? Nah, I'm good. I'm going to have a tea. You know, I ain't drinking. They be like, whatever, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. But right. I ain't drank in a year. You know what I'm saying? Year mm-hmm. and a half, 2 years. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that was that era right there. And I proved my little point. Mm-hmm. And then when we bought the house, we did a little backyard party, and I drank Heinekens, nigga. That's what I was missing, my Heinekens at the time. So that was that era all was all about.
Gotcha.
Mocktail. Uh-huh. I mean, I never had a real reason to order one except for, you know what I'm saying, I go to this spot up here, Chayo, which is a Thai spot.
Uh-huh.
Dope food. I mean, everything on the menu, you know what I'm saying, that I've had was good.
Uh-huh.
But they when I went, first time I went there, I went with my homeboy Efe, who know the owner. Mm-hmm. And so the owner came out, hollered at us, whoop, 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 bing, bing, bing. And then she sent these drinks to us at the bar. Yeah. And it was a lychee martini, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, you know, it's in like a little, you know, a glass that was probably more apt for a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like a little, like a little drink. And then, but I drank the bitch. Yeah. I'm like, this motherfucker is refreshing. Then you eat the lychee fruit out of it. You're like, ooh, god damn, give me another one of them motherfuckers, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not only a drink, but it's good. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a refreshing drink. And so, and you don't really know that shit creeping up on you, you know what I'm saying? You be done drank three of them bitches and be like, oh, shit, goddamn, let me get myself together. You know what I'm saying? But I went to the same restaurant with my daughter. And so, you know, instead of having the lychee Cosmo or the martini, I was like, boom, can I get that in a mocktail? And then they did it up and they put a little, you know what I'm saying, made it a little fizzy. And that shit was just as refreshing. I'm like, damn, this is great. You know what I mean? So that's the last time I indulged in a mocktail. That was the reason why.
Yeah. Now, I'm not mad at the mocktail. I don't know if I would. I've never ordered a mocktail that I can think of. But it made me consider it a little differently. It made me not, to your point, not look at it as silly. You know what I'm saying? Like, who we trying to fool here? Like, yeah, it's just sometimes you just want to have a drink, something to drink, you know? Like you said, refreshing. More often than not, sometimes it's just about being refreshing,
because
and that's kind of how you get into trouble when it's, to your point, when it's just so fucking refreshing, you threw a few back thinking that, you know, it was all good, and now you are faded. Unexpectedly, I used to love a good unexpected fade back when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But now that is a concern. I don't like. I'm like, whoa! I don't like this. But shout out to the mocktail community. Yeah.
But once you know that shit is unsuspecting, you treat that shit with a little more respect.
Oh yeah, you know of course. Yeah, you know it ain't no punk.
Yeah, you treat it with a little more respect. I be ordering that shit. Sometimes I be in that bitch by myself. Cause it's like when I lived over there, you know what I'm saying? It's a quick little right downstairs. Boop, boop. Mm-hmm. Sitting in there at the bar. And then, you know what I'm saying? You know, the bartenders, they already know me. So she just slide the shit on to me. And then, you know, it'd be like some, you know what I'm saying? Like, men sitting at the bar next to you and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
niggas
right.
Showing out with the whiskeys.
Yeah,
whiskey ass niggas and shit. You know what I'm saying? And she slides you on them motherfuckers. And they be like, nigga, what the fuck is? You know what I'm saying? They be trying to give you that look. Like, shit, if your niggas knew what I knew, nigga, shit. I would
take
rather
a sip.
I would rather drink this with my food, man, because this shit is not in the way. This shit is like a refreshing ass compliment to what we got going on here. And I don't give a fuck about y'all niggas, man. Shit, do what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Speaking of that type of thing, I just on refreshing, but like definitely the presentation is different. Shout out to my man A Bonds, my man Alex Houston. I remember back in the days. I guess this is a Houston thing. I never seen it before, but we were out and I think we were getting some Heinekens. He was like, "Yeah, let me get a Heineken, but put some grenadine in it." I never, there might even be a name for this shit, but he said this is like some Houston shit. And, you know, it turned damn near like a Heineken into a soda. Mm-hmm. And it do the same. It does the Heineken work, but it also has that little soda feel to it too. So it was just, it was the different of it all. Like, oh mm-hmm. shit, I never, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was traveled. Like, oh, okay, this is what they doing out there? Let me see what that's about. I was like, all right, bet. I don't know what they call it. But
they used to do that with the Coronas. I never seen it with Heineken's. I think it was a thing with the Coronas, but I ain't sure.
Yeah. If y'all know what we talking about, if there's a name for that, let us know. Let us know. If they do that in your area, or if you've ever had it, or if you fuck with mocktails, what's your go-to? You know what I mean? Or if you fuck with liquor, what's your go-to? You know what I mean? I feel like it's that time now, man. It's funny. I was doing a podcast over the weekend while I was out at the shows, and I was talking to, just right before we went on, I was talking to Chris, like, yo, you seen the new BMF? Because I hadn't seen it yet. He was like, yeah, I watched it. I was like, all right, bet, don't, no spoilers. And then the cat off to the side who was, like, doing production, white dude, still, he heard us say that shit. He was like, what up, though? I was like, oh, all right. That shit was just a funny little moment, though. Like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, man, let's take it to Detroit. Why don't you kick it off?
Well, Terry and Meech, you know, they had their trials and tribulations trying to cop in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They finally got the cop some, you know what I'm saying, put the whip game on it, put them back in the play. They head back to Detroit to get it popping. They bring the whole crew back together, you know what I'm saying, at the record shop, you know what I mean? Everybody jovial and kicking in this shit.
Mm-hmm. Was, you know, confusing a little bit.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Everybody back in pocket. Yourself a B-Mick. Well, B-Mick, we heard B-Mick got another plug. Somebody else. You know, hustling shit that happened when, you know what I'm saying, when the shit dry up. Niggas still got to eat, so they be making other moves. But we know B-Mick is otherwise occupied with his new occupation, so.
Right.
You know, we'll get to that part. But, you know, everybody settled out, you know, agree to agree, and you know what I'm saying? What's my man name? He used to rap, didn't he?
Oh, Lil Zane.
Yeah, Lil Zane. Lil Zane step outside, you know what I'm saying? Take a leak, and here come motherfucking goddamn Lamar.
L Boogie.
L Boogie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hit him with one of them superhero shotgun moves. Shit that lift you off your whole feet, nigga. Lift you off your foundation.
Right. Send you back in time.
Sent his ass back to yesterday, nigga. Kaboom. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. You hit him with a good ho ass, nigga. Yeah. Kaboom. Lil Zane was out of there. You know what I'm saying? God.
Undamn.
You know what I'm saying? Then Meech and them ride around with the Uzi. Looking cool. Now, these niggas be having on some clothes, riding around for a hit. You know what I'm saying?
And a Suzuki sidekick, too. A little throwback.
That threw me off, though, because, you know what I'm saying, when they first show the shot, you know what I'm saying, T with the Uzi, it looked like they in a vert. You know what I'm saying? Something, you know, saying, stout. They pulled out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was in a dirty Suzuki with, you know what I'm saying, with the faded paint.
They had a few little whip changes in this episode.
Well, you know, the niggas is carless.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess Meech might still have his Benz. Meech might still have his Benz.
I guess when he pulled, because it threw me off. I thought he was out of there. I thought, but they had an assortment for some people with nothing.
Now, the trip shit is. If you was going to do a hit, nigga, Suzuki Samurai is the last motherfucking shit you going to want to take. Them shits is slower than a motherfucker.
Flimsy.
These niggas can't hit no corners. They got a top speed, nigga. Them shits ain't finna just get up out of there.
Yeah, I guess that's why you got to bring the Uzi.
Yeah, them shits is for cruising.
Clear that hole. Yeah. That's disrespectful. That's a Will Smith walk off the stage with the back turn.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Do a hit in a Suzuki.
Yeah, man. So them niggas is on the hunt or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, they coming up short. They ain't finding nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Lamar back at the crib. You know what I'm saying? What they call it? Burping his fucking bag and shit. Nigga cousin coming to the house like, God damn, nigga. Mm-hmm. Open a window when you doing that shit. Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Oh, Alvin. Yeah.
This nigga like, nigga, we family now, man. Shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? He's like, this nigga. So anyway, you got that shit going on. Uh-huh. Lamar goes steal a white man's dog, which is probably a cardinal sin of TV. You know what I'm saying? Never seen a nigga
stealing somebody's dog?
Stealing a white man's dog right out of his house. You know.
Well, it was on the porch. I mean, it was in the front yard and it looked like it was being abused. But go ahead with this cardinal sin. Explain more about that. Yeah, I guess. I guess stealing somebody's dog is a whole lot. A whole lot. But I guess we don't, at this point, Lamar is a full villain. Right. You know what I mean? He has no code.
Right. But, no, he ain't got no code, but he's damn sure got down. He the dog whisperer because he took a whole.
He turned into DMX. Yeah, he definitely. What's it? What's going on, boy? Yeah. He's one of them now.
He's
just misunderstood.
Hey,
call
boy.
You Blackie because you're black and beautiful.
Hey, like boy, that's my dog. Give me my dog back. Which was weird because he hadn't even took the dog nowhere. I don't even think he had the dog off the chain or nothing yet. Give me back my dog.
Well, this is the other part about that, too. If that's your dog, why did your dog, your vicious-ass fighting dog, hold you down when you was getting your ass whipped? That's when the dog, it's almost like the pimp game. The bitch chose me. And I'm talking about the bitch meaning the dog. Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, you know, because if that's your dog, if that's man's best friend, your best friend wouldn't have let you get your ass beat so convincingly and your ear chewed off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Stepped off with the victor. Yeah, man. So I don't know. It felt an interesting way. You said a cardinal sin.
Mm. people attach to their dogs, man. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
I personally ain't saying that. I'm just saying that in the sense of society.
Okay,
like, damn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
You know what I mean? Shit, motherfuckers steal all the time. Nigga stole my parrot. I was mad.
Right. Oh, shit. Damn, that's crazy. Don't say shit.
So yeah, I was mad. You know what I'm talking about?
Damn, yeah, that's wild.
But you know,
man, how you
but
steal
people,
a parrot?
People. I told that story on here.
Okay,
but
okay,
but you know, people, dogs be part of people's families now. You know what I'm saying?
Of course,
like, they live in the house. My day, dogs lived outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
on a chain and shit, running around. They live to chase a nigga down the yard. You know what I'm saying?
With no clothes on,
right?
Naked.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, man. So keep going.
Yeah, so, you know, he steal the dog. He choked the white man out, bit his ear off on some Mike Tyson shit, spit all in our face on the screen. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? As they trying to make Lamar disgusting as possible. But go
as
ahead.
Well, this is the thing. I was kind of, after he shot Lil Zane, knocked his ass out, shot him down on the floor, and he was, you know, and then also after he beat this white man and he had him on the floor, I almost felt like, because I guess he's turned heel so much and due to how performative his fucking vengeance is,
mm-hmm.
I was almost waiting for him to pour a little bit of that shit bag, stew. Yeah, just squirt him a little bit of shit. I thought that was going to become his calling card. Like, you know who it is. You know what I'm saying? Lamar was here. But, go ahead. Keep going.
So, you know, you got that. Then you got old Mr. Charles. Mr. Charles couldn't resist. You know what I'm saying? He's still rolling down the road of goddamn cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And she know it, too. She was like, shit, are you going to walk away from here? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you just ain't going to look at me on the way out the door. Charles should have just kept on stepping.
And again, should have not turned his back. Yeah, kept it going. Gave it back and shoulders.
By the time the nigga turned around, it was in full glow. You know what I'm saying? Everything showing. Ready for here it is, nigga. What you gonna do with it?
Yeah. She put them warm areola on his back.
Yeah.
That settled him. That shut his whole shit down. He couldn't move. He
paralyzed.
Couldn't move. That nigga was done. He turned around. Oh, Lord, and he got so much turmoil going through his face. He's like, it's like Pookie. He could not resist. He could not resist. You're going, yeah. That's back in the days. Salute to the women with the robes. The robe, I don't know if the robe get enough love, but a robe, if you wear that shit nice, a robe is still a go-to, still a nice, nice, yeah. I can't even think of what I want to say. It's just an amazing prop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead. I mean, you know, it was a discussion around the office about, you know, why, why Charles is out here cheating. You know what I'm saying? You know, people, you know, blamed on that they were, you know, had a cold sexual relationship. But, you know, on the real part, you know what I'm saying? Charles was broke, okay? Charles was broke. You know what I'm saying? He felt like he wasn't getting the respect that he should have deserved. And then, you know what I'm saying, on the flip side, you know what I'm saying, ain't no respect given to a nigga who ain't handling the business, you know what I'm saying? So it's that classic tangle of, you know what I'm saying, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse, you know what I'm saying, where you know, Charles is losing right now, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I suppose, you know, shit, nigga needed something to distract from the, you know what I'm saying, the world of loss, you know? So Charles is more cheating because he broke, not because, you know what I'm saying, shit was cold at the house because he was broke. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Charles didn't realize, you know what I'm saying, how to negotiate broke and love at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Because it's, you know, it's a way to get through it, but it's very, very hard to do. It ain't easy to do. And if you're not fully committed to your performative actions of betterment, then it will get the better of you. You know what I'm saying? So, Mr. Charles, I ain't really learned that lesson. So, he going to have to catch it the hard way.
Probably. He had to try to get creative and resourceful to really make it happen, which he didn't. And what I also noticed is Charles definitely pulled the Bill Clinton at the table when he said, look, I'm not cheating on you with Sister Riley. Which he should have just said. She just said, I'm not cheating on you. But he fucking around and damn near, incriminated himself. I'm not cheating on you with Sister Riley. But if you just go see you next door, old ceiling fan. I'm over here with ceiling fan Pam. And we getting to it, you know. But
What's that lady name?
I don't know. I'm fine.
Mabel.
Know. We gotta look it up. Is it Mabel? Mabel, it seems like. That was even an old name for back then.
Yeah.
Is Mabel?
Yeah, I think it's Mabel.
Okay, shout out to Mabel.
Mabel out here, you know what I'm saying, with a target. Mabel, she out here spending money. Here, Charles, here's, you know what I'm saying, here go $100 to fix that motherfucking fan. $100, you being very generous. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's more where that came from. Thank you, Mabel. I'll be back to fix that refrigerator tomorrow.
Mabel is willing and able. And financially stable. Mabel. Oh, shit. Yeah, man. She's like, you just going to walk away? You ain't going to look me in the eye? Oh, Charles, get out. But it's too late now. Too late. Yeah. You're going to get caught at some point. Keep going, though.
I guess all really that's left is, B-Mick. B-Mick, you know what I'm saying? They catch up with B-Mick, what's happening? Then he turning into a, you know what I'm saying, emotional scenario. Man, you said you're nothing, ain't saying nothing. You know what I'm saying? You're going to just bring Terry back? He walked away. Nigga, that's my brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, come on.
Everything.
B-Mick is sensitive.
Everything except for, you know what I'm saying, I'm snitching, and nigga, watch your back.
And it's the second time where he got to, you know, right there on the goal line of snitching with Meech. Mm-hmm. This time, I guess he was like, look, I can't even. Both times, he really couldn't stomach it. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, you know, this time he pulled his hat off. He was like, yeah, nigga, I always wear a hat. He was like, all right, B-Mac. Nah, you really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Come through with the high top. Yeah, that nigga, you could tell snitch technology has gotten a lot better because that motherfucker had damn near a whole tweeter box in his fucking hat. That shit was wild as shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he gonna go out sad, it looks like. I'm not sure who apprehended him. I would imagine it was, I don't know. It could be anybody. It could be
police.
It could be the cops. It could, yeah, it could be the cops. It could be Lamar. It could be Meech.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I got a couple little, you know, got a couple little thoughts and observations to go through.
Mm-hmm.
We already saw Lamar biting off ears. I like this, it's so funny how, like, Meech and, well, particularly T, is still a high school student, still a teenager, still a right. young kid, right? So it's like moments when, you know, he be moving like he a grown-ass man, but then there's other moments where he's such a kid where he was like, when his fucking teacher, who, I mean, this guy, he is really invested in T. Like he is Dangerous Minds level Michelle Pfeiffer invested, coming down to the crib talking about, yo, I'm be here for you if you need me, da 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 da. T's like, I'm done. The parents is like, you can't be done. You know how much graduation mean to me. And he was like, well, look, it don't mean nothing. And just like a kid, he was like, you don't need a diploma to do anything. Look at John Travolta, Michael J. Fox, Al Pacino. And Pops was like, they're all white. He was like, well, Ella Fitzgerald, Aretha Franklin, motherfucking Prince. And he had some shit for you. That's that kid shit. Had that motherfucker. He had that. He been rehearsing that shit, his little his speech. Mm-hmm. That shit was funny. He messing with Markeisha. Is it Markeisha? Is Lala's character's name? Is that her name? Or is Markeisha somebody else?
You know, she Lala.
Okay. Okay. So he about to set up a whole new family while trying to shake his last family. You know, trying to shake Wanda and them. And I just thought it was funny when he came through with that big ass pizza. That shit looked like a ping pong table.
Mm-hmm.
A big ass pizza in the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's you could become a father with just that. Truth be told. If the kid was the right age, a big ass pizza in a Genesis? Nah, dad. Is that what I call you? He came through with that big ass pizza. I never see the pizza that crazy. It's a Little Caesars pizza. I never got into Little Caesars ever. I think I didn't see him back in the days. I do remember the pizza. I remember that shit. And I'm typically very susceptible to a good marketing campaign, especially a jingle.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I felt like they was in the neighborhood, they felt real discount. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they do a little $5 pizza. And people, I just felt like something in that pizza. They doing something. That shit about to kill niggas. It's the conveyor belt pizza. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Lamar's chains are distracting. You know, I know you get into the jewelry of it all.
That's the thing, though. All those chains is the chains he stole from niggas. He went and when he got back out there, you know what I'm saying? He take a nigga money and his chain. So he went everybody's chain at once.
Got it. So it's like dog tags.
Yeah, like, okay. Nigga.
All right.
Yeah, this your nigga chain. Yeah, nigga, I got him too.
Okay. Oh, I ain't even peep that. It's like you got Mardi Gras ass nigga. I bet.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the power of them titties. and that shit destabilized that nigga. He could not move.
We skipped over Lala because, you know what I'm saying, the thing was that after all that, you know what I'm saying, she realized this nigga wasn't going to be able to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
She went back home.
Did she go back home or she left?
No, she went back home.
Oh, she
said, note said, you know what I'm saying, my man's a bad guy, but you know what I'm saying? The nigga is, you know what I'm saying, stable.
Right. But I thought she said, I want to be independent and financially independent. Okay, all right, I got it. Okay.
I don't remember the independence part. Maybe I missed that.
I thought that's what I saw. Yeah,
I thought she went home, Nikki.
Nikki's very upset that fucking Meech is hustling out her little, you know, summer youth job. You know what I'm saying? Like, she thought she was, you know what I mean, independent of the scrum. Mm-hmm. And here go Meech. Meech is a franchise. Boy. He's a Ray Kroc of this cocaine shit, boy. He set up shop everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he done set up a shop at the beauty salon, hustling mm-hmm. out of there. Nikki is very judgmental, which is, you know, I get it. I get it, I guess.
As a kid, yeah, my nigga, that era, mm-hmm. I that's why I learned the hypocrisy of life, my nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You be around and you know what I'm saying? You see people who supposed to be wholesome and good dude, mm-hmm. good upstanding members of the community. Like, these the people that be on the news and be, you know what I'm saying, doing all of the good things in the newspaper and shit. And they show up to the trap, nigga. That's heartbreaking. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, what is life, nigga? What is life? Like, everybody's on the take. Just you look around and it was like, all this shit is the game. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel her.
Don't make no type of sense. She thought she had a little safe space.
Yeah, nigga.
Nope. Meech coming through.
Yeah, man, and Lamar is showing up right after. So, you know, she don't feel safe.
Yeah. So, back to, okay, this was interesting. The other thing. So, back to Markeisha and T. They jumping off, and then you see the detectives watching like it was a porno. And then they was like, he like, you know, I could help you with that. She was like, well, what makes you think you could help me? Now, my thing is, it looked like when they came back, one of the beds was unmade. So I'm assuming that they jumped off.
Yeah, they jumped off.
And in my mind, too. And I think that nigga done fell in love already. Because, you know, dead ass. Because when she pulled up on B. Mickey, and B. Mickey said something slick, he was like, I don't like your sarcasm. Like, that nigga's like, you talking to my lady kind of slick. So I was like, oh, this nigga done fell in love.
Yeah, he a lonely nigga now, shit, now.
Yeah, I guess so. Him and his son. Yeah, his son getting his sneakers snatched.
You know, all them detectives on the TV be lonely. They don't never have no mate.
Yeah.
It's their job, nigga, to hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's like Al Pacino and Heat, nigga. He can't keep his shit together.
Nah, fucked up. So then I thought that Wanda and her moms was great casting because that woman looks like Wanda's moms. Mm-hmm. And then it looked like, I don't know, they going to put a root on them or some type of shit going on. That she's, because I didn't understand in the beginning when she took his belt, but then she got a bunch of different, you know, articles of his clothing and things of that nature. And moms was like, you already know what we about to do. So they about to get real spooky. Do you believe in roots? Do you know anybody intimately that was doing shit like that, that could put a root? I always hear about it. You know what I'm saying? Especially like people like in the Delta, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or down south or whatever, real old cats or, you know what I'm saying? But, and I don't dismiss it,
mm-hmm.
but you know I don't want to play no games. But I'm not gonna say it don't happen. But
I mean, I've been around. I'm from Miami, so a lot of that shit was going around. You know what I'm saying? So cross pollinization with the voodoo and the Haitians. But you also had the classic root ladies and shit that was, you know what I'm saying, preceded that. You got the Saturina. All that is mixed up. In the Miami culture, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't fuck with it no kind of way, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I've seen, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how it work or if it work, but I have seen people take themselves to the edge to never come back, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when they talk about zombies and shit, you was like a motherfucker who was just living but ain't really in there, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what I'm saying? I've seen people that have taken that shit to the edge and a lot of it be, you know what I mean? A lot of people try to play with it like they can control it, right? You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. once you open yourself up to certain shit, you know what I'm saying? It ain't easy to close it off. And you can measure the shit out of how much spiritual warfare you're going to be able to take. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody want to, everybody want to use it to their own favor and get money and, you know what I'm saying, move they adversaries out the way. And then, you know what I'm saying, next thing you know, they out the way. And so it ain't nothing to play with. You know what I'm saying? They got like celebrity root people now. You know what I'm saying? And they got a little reality show that's about to come out about that shit. You know what I'm saying? Instagram
root. Celebrity root people?
Yeah,
or
like Instagram root people and shit.
Okay, I think I know a couple of them. I don't know who's on the show, but I've seen a couple of them, some little situations. Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, so, you know, it's people out here that's doing it, and it's people that want to dabble in it. It's like, you know what I'm saying? People want to, you know, get rich spells and, you know what I'm saying, love spells and, you know what I'm saying, meet my favorite celebrity spell, let me find a rich nigga spell, all that shit. People getting rich off the shit. People been getting rich off the shit. But it ain't. It's, I don't know what it is, man. But it ain't fake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not fake. Yeah. So if you don't know what it is, but it's real, you know what I'm saying? You probably, you know what I mean? You got to tread lightly, tread carefully, and you know, if that's what you're going to get into, I would suggest learning as much as you can, be trained as much as you can, because once you over the edge, you over the edge.
There it go. I've seen there it go. I hear about it. I don't know if I've ever seen it up close. I've heard about people that, you know, are, you know, they kind of are into it. You know what I mean? But I never really seen it in action, at least that I can remember. But yeah, to that point, I do respect it in the way of, I don't want no problems. You know what I'm saying? Y'all do what y'all do. About to break out, but one thing, speaking of, you know, some cool shit or something exciting, motherfucking Snowfall come back tomorrow or tonight. Tonight, Snowfall come on back. Last season, final season. Hopefully, hopefully nobody put a root on these scripts. Hopefully this shit go out. Damn. You know what I mean?
Hopefully root it go out. Man, I ain't mess with you.
Oh, well, shit! Don't say it like I'm antagonizing nobody. Look, I don't want no problems. Please. yeah, man, I just hope these shits is good. I hope we go out strong. Snowfall season 4. I'm excited. It's gonna be, you know, my CTV.
Word.
Shit. Until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Peace.
Conversation.